Welcome to Front Row Center, Montana Public Radio's weekly arts interview. I'm Beth Ann Austin. In our Butte studio today is George Everett, who is the executive director of Main Street Uptown Butte, who put together the Montana Folk Festival. And the third annual Montana Folk Festival is this coming weekend, Friday through Sunday, July 12th through 14th. Welcome, George.
Hi, Beth Ann. How you doing?
2008 through 2010, we had the National Folk Festival.
Well, that was a three-year celebration. Butte and Montana were selected to be the location for the National Folk Festival, which does a three-year stay in one community in the country, and then they move on to another community. It was a great honor. We just decided that after that ended and they went on, that we had spent a lot of effort, time learning how to do it, and we decided we'd just keep it going. This is the third year we've done it in Montana. We have tried to remain faithful to the same model that the National is, which is to present this tableau over 3 days with continuous music on stages, but also to have the folk life area, the arts markets, and things that go on all around throughout the weekend.
And another part of the National Folk Festival that has continued with the Montana Folk Festival is free admission for the entire weekend.
That is something we've struggled with, but we are going to continue as long as we can. As long as we continue to garner the support of Montana businesses and individuals, we will continue to offer free admission. It's a great way to open these traditional arts, traditional music, and other things to the public who might not otherwise be able to afford, you know, a $150 ticket for a three-day music festival.
Six stages of music, an arts and crafts area, crafts demonstrations, a kids area, shuttle buses to take you from one area to the next in Uptown Butte. It is an extravaganza of color and sound and tastes.
And free parking. I'll mention that too. Yeah, they could take shuttles from the Butte Civic Center up to the stages and they will deliver them to the site. And if they want to take a rest or get off the site, they can take a shuttle back down to their vehicles. You can come and go as you please and admission is free.
Before I even get into the details, you can check them yourself by going to the website montanafolkfestival.com with Montana spelled out. So Montana Folk Festival, all one word, .com. And those of you on Facebook can also go to MT Folk Fest on Facebook, and you'll find a ton of details there as well and updates. So here's the rundown of performers for the 2013 Montana Folk Festival. The Marshall Ford Swing Band, they play Western Swing. Wang Li, who plays Chinese jaw harp, it's almost avant-garde at times with some of the effects he adds on. The Great Blues guitar player, singer, band leader Bernard Allison. Git Hoan, people of the Salmon, as they call themselves. They perform music and dance. Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys, that's Cajun music. The Karen Casey Band. Karen Casey and John Doyle have been members of the Irish group Sullis. They play as a duo. Debo Band combines Ethiopian funk music and American soul and jazz. Grupo Fantasma, who play Latin dance music. Fendika, an Ethiopian Asmari music and dance group performing music from multiple regions of Ethiopia. Natalie Perez, a Portuguese-American fado singer. Pan Franek, Zosia, and the Polka Towners, Midwestern polka band. Chaksampa, a Tibetan music and dance performance group. The Birmingham Sunlights, an a cappella gospel quartet group. Canzoniere Greccanico Salentino, an Italian group from Puglia. The New Ballards Branch Bog Trotters, old-time music from Virginia. Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, a bluegrass band. Sharday Thomas, who leads a fife and drum blues band from the South. Cac Chi, a Vietnamese duo who play music on the Dan Bao made of bamboo. The Henry Butler Trio, New Orleans piano music. And South Indian classical dance from Mithili Prakash.
We're really happy with the lineup. I've been surprised by people who really know the different genres. When we get a performer lined up, I might not know who they are, but there are people who have heard of them or saw them before. Like Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys are pretty big in Cajun. They were nominated for a Grammy, and people are really excited. We had just a couple years ago Dale Watson here, who I was not familiar with, but we had people calling from all over the region saying, "When is Dale Watson playing?" And some came just for that performer. One of the features of this festival that people may know about is the Dance Pavilion. It's sponsored by the Montana Office of Tourism, and we encourage dancing there. And Steve Riley is one of those bands that will be performing on the dance stage. One thing you'll see if you check out Steve Riley's videos is jitterbug Cajun style, which will make your head spin because it's so fast compared to Montana jitterbugging, I think.
This year, there's also a theme of rivers and headwaters.
We always pick a theme that is interpreted at the Folklife area. This year we have the Clark Fork Watershed Education Program, which is affiliated with Clark Fork Coalition and others, to interpret the importance of rivers and river lifestyles in Montana. And Butte is kind of well situated for that. We are the headwaters for the Columbia River. It comes out of the mountains of the Continental Divide right next to Butte. And not too far from us is also the headwaters of the Missouri River, which is basically the headwaters of the Mississippi system. There'll be demonstrators there who will be exploring things like plants that grow along rivers, canoe makers, people who make moccasins, and other things that are related to living with such an important river system like we have in Montana.
In case you get hungry, there is no absence of food, from hamburgers to gumbo to Filipino noodles to fry bread.
Yes, we're having a fry bread vendor from Hardin coming over, and we're having vendors from all over the West. We have people from the Butte area who make pork chop sandwiches and things like that, and we also have people come up from Arizona with barbecue. And then on top of that, we have about 30 restaurants in the vicinity, so if you want to go get a sit-down meal, all you got to do is walk a block or two off the festival site.
And speaking of the festival site, there are buses and golf carts and all sorts of conveyances to get you from one stage to another.
And there's another important thing I'd like to mention, too, is that people can take a bus if they don't want to drive from Missoula. GrizTix has been selling tickets for a few days now for buses that will come from Adams Center on Saturday over to the festival and then bring people back in the evening to Missoula. So it takes all the fuss out of driving and parking. They just take the bus and then get on the bus and go back to Missoula at the end of the day.
And George, new this year is a mobile phone app that contains the schedule for the festival that people can download, and then they can look at their phones and see what's coming up on what stage.
You're set if you have a smartphone, Android or iPhone. You can download the app from event.base/download, or you can go to Apple's App Store or Google Play, and you can download that app. Just search in Event Base for Montana Folk Festival. It takes just a second. And then you have the whole schedule, access to video clips right there on your phone.
I was wondering if you have a good answer to the people who ask, is it still relevant? And why are you showcasing some of these things?
It is still relevant, I think, and it represents the tradition that's being handed down to young people today. The Italian group Canzionetti, Grancanico Salentino is an excellent example. These are people in their 20s who have learned this music from their families, and they carry on a tradition that goes back as far as the Middle Ages, a trance-like dance to ward off tarantula poison. They have festivals of 100,000 people in southern Italy who come to these. They have some characteristics of a rave. It's just amazing how people get involved in the music. But traditions are important, and the idea of transferring the folk arts, not only the arts, but the music, one-to-one in a festival setting is pretty much where this started in 1934 with the first National Folk Festival. It was a way to bring people together to share this kind of tradition. I think it is important, and there's a lot of fans of traditional music out there.
There's also the ongoing immigrant nature of the U.S. There are always people from different regions and tribes and languages coming to this country and bringing their arts and their music with them. So I think it's a pretty vibrant display of what is still a process going on here today.
Butte's a great example, and that's one reason maybe why it was selected, is because of the diversity that we have. Irish music is still very alive and popular today from people who descend from Irish immigrants. Same with Italian music. Eastern European polka is big here, whether we have it at this festival or some other parties throughout the summer.
The website montanafolkfestival.com has information about different kinds of lodging in the area, and it's got lots of details about the performers and the artists, craft demonstrators, and all sorts of details about the logistics of the festival. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about next weekend's third annual Montana Folk Festival, July 12th through 14th in Uptown Butte. The website is montanafolkfestival.com with Montana spelled out, or on Facebook, MT Folk Fest. On Facebook. George Everett of Main Street Uptown Butte, thank you for your work in putting this festival together.
Thank you very much, Beth Ann, and we just hope everybody comes on over and checks it out.